Chapter 3, The Law of Treaties. All communities must have rules that govern the agreements that the legal subjects enter into. In public international law, this regime is found within a law of treaties that is one of the oldest areas of international law. A treaty is an international agreement that is governed by international law. It is entered into by two or more international subjects that possess treaty-making capacity. The vast majority of treaties are concluded between states, but international organizations also have treaty-making capacity for certain purposes. A bilateral treaty is concluded between two states. Multilateral treaties are those that are adopted by a larger group of states. The legal basis of a treaty is state consent. No one can force a state to enter into a legally binding agreement, and treaties therefore only create rights and obligations for the parties that have given their consent to be bound. It is important to understand that it is only in those cases where a political pledge to behave in a certain way is accompanied with a desire to create legal rights and obligations under international law that one can actually speak of a treaty for the purposes of international law. States frequently conclude agreements that are not supposed to be legally binding. Such agreements are only political commitments. For example, member states in NATO have pledged they will spend 2% of their GDP on defense. While that commitment is clearly a political commitment that the states will be asked to live up to by, for instance, the Americans, it does not seem to reflect an intention to create any legal obligations. States are generally allowed to make reservations to multilateral treaties and hereby take account of particular national attitudes or sentiments. The effect of a reservation to a treaty is that the reserving states are not bound by the relevant part of the treaty. A well-known example is Denmark's so-called opt-outs to the 1992 Maastricht Treaty. Thus, unlike many other states in the EU, Denmark made reservations to the treaty on a range of areas, including the introduction of the common currency, the euro. Treaty interpretation is one of the core topics in the law of treaties, and many disputes in international law is concerned with the proper interpretation of a provision in a treaty. The 1969 Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties contained a number of principles that are supposed to govern the interpretation of all treaties. In practice, however, not all treaties are interpreted in the same manner. Bilateral treaties, for example, those between two states, are generally interpreted on the basis of a clear intention of the parties involved. This is due to the fact that such treaties often have a sort of contractual nature. Multilateral treaties, on the other hand, often have a more law-like character, and that is reflected in the way in which such treaties are interpreted. Constitutive multilateral treaties, for example, are those that establish an international organization. In many cases, these are interpreted in a way that seeks to ensure the effective functions of the organization. Human rights treaties are generally interpreted to ensure that the convention ensures an effective, real, and concrete protection of the individuals that are deemed to be protected by the convention. To illustrate, the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg, that oversees the application of the European Convention on Human Rights, has adopted what is termed a dynamic interpretation of the provisions of the convention. In some states, of course, this interpretational style has led to criticism for judicial activism. It is, however, a well-known way of interpreting a human rights treaty. Many multilateral treaties contain provisions that allow a state to withdraw from the treaty after a certain period of time. It is, for example, Article 50 in the Lisbon Treaty that allows the United Kingdom to withdraw from the European Union.